Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Thursday, March the 7th, 2024. So glad that you guys are on today as we finish up the week together with our readings through the third week of Lent. So we are reading Genesis chapter 46. Then we'll jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and Mark chapter 6 today. Yeah. How are you guys doing? Hope you guys are doing well. We, this is now heading towards the fourth Sunday. This Sunday is going to be the fourth Sunday of Lent. So, yeah, we're trekking on through. Easter will be here before you know it. Easter is this month, guys. It's crazy. It's early in the year this year. So, yeah. Glad that you guys are on. Thank you for spending time in God's Word. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us today. Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 through 7. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome, everybody. Thank you guys for subscribing to the YouTube channel and all that. It's awesome. I know. I don't know where the time's going either. It's so fast. Yeah, we'll be through Easter and headed towards the summer before we know it. Just got to enjoy the days. Enjoy the days. All right, 46, 1 through, what did I say? 7. And then we'll jump down to verse 28. So Israel set out with all that was his and went and reached Beersheba. He offered sacrifice to the God of his father, Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." "Here I am," he replied. "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes." His beloved son, he's gonna be with him on his deathbed. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport them. So Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt, taking with them their livestock and possessions they had acquired in Canaan. Jacob brought with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. All right, so let's drop down to verse 28 through 34. These were the sons born to Jacob. Nope, that's not 25, that's 25. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead to him, to Joseph, to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as this first time they've seen each other in a very, very long time, right? Remember, you know, since Joseph was just a kid. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household who were living in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds. They tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, "What is your occupation?" you shall answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our father did. Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to Egyptians. So Joseph is kind of coaching him on what to say, what not to say. Tell him you tend livestock. Don't tell him you're shepherds. Apparently, if you tell him you're a shepherd, that's like a conversation killer. That's not good. That's how it is when you talk to people and you tell them you're a pastor, too. They're like, oh, boy. It's like a conversation killer. I think, you know, conversation is going well. And yeah, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh. I don't know what to say now. It's kind of like saying you're a funeral director. Okay. So I try to put that off as long as possible in conversation. Let's just talk, y'all. Let's stay away from, which by the way, that's one of the worst things you can ask someone. If you're trying to create conversation with someone, one of the worst things you can ask someone is what they do. So because this isn't just true of pastors, it's true of like generally that's one of the worst things you can do. Because there's so many, I mean, some people are unemployed, some people are retired, some people, you know, have occupations where it's just awkward to say what you do or, and besides that, it's like, it doesn't really say anything about who they are. Yeah. Like, well, I'm an engineer. Okay, well, there's more to you than that. So, yeah, when you're starting a conversation with people, it's kind of a one of the last things you want to ask someone is what they do. There's other ways you can get to that. Ask people how they spend their time. How do you like to spend your time? What do you like to do for fun? What are you spending most of your time on these days? Raising kids. And then if they want to talk about work, they can talk about work from there. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 15. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am an apostle to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Remember, the Corinthians kind of thought they outgrew Paul. And at this point, Paul's like, hey, I may not be an apostle to everybody, but I am certainly an apostle to you. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barabbas who lack the right not to work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Does the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out grain. Okay. So he's building a case for work and earning a living from what you're doing. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support, shouldn't we have this all the more? So he's talking about, you know, as a minister, you should, as a minister in a field, why is it wrong for a minister to receive an income? I mean, appropriately, of course, not extravagantly. There's plenty of abuses. We see that, and that's what people immediately think of. But here Paul is making the case that, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. If a minister or someone is working hard among you, shouldn't they reap any material reward, not just spiritual rewards? Shouldn't they just feel good about themselves? Yeah, but they are entitled to a material livelihood as well. If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But watch, but Paul intentionally does not use this right. The next verse. But we do not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. So you wonder why some people are kind of griping because Paul is not doing it like everyone else is doing it. And Paul is like, we have a right to receive a material, to receive resources, financial resources from you, but we refuse to. And why do we refuse to? Because we do not want to hinder the gospel. We don't want anyone to think that we are peddling the gospel for money. So we refuse to receive any money or any material benefit. We're entitled to it. Nothing wrong with it. But we, the apostle Paul says, refuse to, because we don't want that to be used as a tool in the arsenal of the enemy to cause people maybe to not take our message as seriously, or to think we're doing it for ulterior motives. Verse 13, don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar share in what is offered at the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Amen. Yeah. Preach, Paul, preach. Yeah. I mean, as someone who's been in ministry for, you know, whatever, since the 90s, 30 years. Yeah. It's a humbling thing, you know, something that you never take for granted. I always consider it a blessing and a gift, right? I mean, that people, and I always look at, because I talk to pastors sometimes, particularly young pastors who struggle with this, right? Because there's a conscientious part of it. You're like, man, how do you justify it? Well, first of all, it's okay. It's okay to receive your payment if you're serving in the kingdom. It's okay to receive financial payment from the kingdom, like from people, from tithes and offerings, just like Paul says here. You don't have to feel guilty about it. I think it's good to always keep that in check. Don't become entitled either. You can't get to the place where you're like, you know, I deserve this. I mean, you know, we regularly remind ourselves that to work at a church and to be paid by the church is a gift. I mean, there are plenty of really awesome ministers and pastors and church leaders serving in places all over the world that there just isn't the financial means to pay them, or pay them in places where there are, or not to pay them very well. And so to be able to live in a place and to serve in a community, a church community, where you're actually you're paid and very paid very generously, that's a gift. That's a tremendous gift. And I think what I often, you know, remind people is this, is would you still do it if you didn't get paid? If it ever gets to the point where you say, you know what, I wouldn't do this if I didn't get paid, then I don't know if you're doing it for the right reason. Honestly, in the church, Like, I can honestly say with a clear conscience, like, even if Bayside Church, in my case, if Bayside Church did not pay me to preach the gospel, pay me to do ministry, I would still do it. I would find a way to do it because it's just who I'm called to be. And so, just like this podcast, I mean, this podcast is not part of my job description. It's not something, hey, it wasn't like the elders at Bayside said, hey, you must start it. You need to be doing a podcast and do a Bible study. No, if I weren't teaching the Bible and sharing the Bible with people and the Word of God with people is what I would do no matter what. Money is regardless. It is immaterial because it is something that I am passionate about, I care about, and I believe and I've seen the difference that it makes in people's lives. So that's kind of how I coach and share with young ministers who struggle with being paid by the church. It's like, if you ever get to the point where you wouldn't do it if you weren't paid, you probably aren't doing it for the right reason. You're probably doing it for some other reason. You're doing it for the financial security that it provides. And that's a dangerous place to be. Now, if you're an assistant or, you know, if you're like not, you know, if you're just fulfilling a role at the church that like a, you know, a manager, facility manager or whatever, or a different kind of non-ministerial, direct ministerial role, that's different. You know, that's a different thing. But if you're a pastor and you ever get to the place where you're like, I wouldn't do this if I wasn't getting paid, then, you know, it might be time to step away for a season, or at least to really process that, because I think at that point you might be doing it for the wrong reason. It is the woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. It's like I have to. And honestly, that's how this Bible study began. This Bible study began in COVID because I felt not hopeless. I felt powerless. And like, I was like, what do I think helps? What do I think matters? What do I think people need? What do I think will uplift people? The Word of God and prayer. So how can we get the Word of God and prayer to people? And so we just started this goofy Facebook Live podcast just to share the Word and pray, because people were scared and uncertain and all of that. I was too. And to share in that together and to pray for each other. It was birthed out of that same place of like, I've got to share the Word. So I think that's, you know, I think that Paul is speaking of that. He's like, yeah, as a minister, you can give up your rights to an income from the church. Sure. But there's nothing wrong with receiving it either. Just make sure your heart is in the right place. I think of it this way. I think when a church, in its purest form, I think when a church gives a salary or pays a minister to do ministry, I see it a lot like a missionary. Like, you support a missionary, right? You support a missionary because you want to make sure, you want to help them do the ministry that God has called them to do. And you don't want them to have to worry about going out and, you know, finding a job, doing something else, because you recognize the call of God in their life to do ministry. So we want to support you financially so you can focus on ministering. And we want you to be able to devote as much of your time to ministering as possible. And so we want to support you financially. And so the way I view it, the most ideal sense, is when a church pays a minister, they're recognizing the call of God on that person's life. We recognize God has a distinct call. We all have calls on our lives. I want to say that we all do. Every single one of us have a call on our lives. But not everyone has a call to be a ministry leader. Not everyone does. Not everyone is called to be a preacher or a pastor or an apostle or an evangelist. Not everyone has that calling. Everyone has a calling that's very important for the kingdom of God. But when a church leader has a distinct calling that someone recognizes or that a community recognizes, it's the community's way of saying, the church's way of saying, we're going to support you financially so you can devote yourself to that calling because we see it in you. We recognize it in you. And so I think that's so in a sense, you don't work for the church. The church is, you do in one way, but you don't, in the purest sense, you don't work for the church. In the purest sense, the church recognizes a distinct call on your life and wants to make it possible for you to do that full time because it's the church, the community sees that that is as a benefit to the kingdom of God. And that's a humbling thing. I mean, that's a humbling thing that the community, that God's people would voluntarily offer to support your financial livelihood because they see that the call on your life is important to the kingdom of God. I mean, that's a very humbling thing. And I think as long as you keep that humbleness about it and realize what an honor it is, then God will use it. And it keeps your heart in the right place, never to become entitled and think, I deserve this. I deserve more. I can tell you this, guys, this is just in 30 years of ministry. Now, Bayside, every church I've ever served has been very generous to me. But in 30 years, I've never gone to the church and asked for more money. Never asked for more money. I've never said, hey, I need more money. Now, some pastors may have had to do that, and I don't condemn them for saying that, because in some cases they very well, maybe they didn't need more money. But I can honestly say I've never done that. I've never gone to the elders and said, you know what, you guys need to pay me more. I don't know. It would be very, very hard for me to have that conversation because I am grateful for what's been given to me, and that people would recognize a call to the degree that they would say, you know, we're going to support that. So anyway, all of that is kind of what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He goes on to say that, right? Verse 15 and following, verse 16, for when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. What's he saying? I just got to preach. I've got to tell people about Jesus. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, so not to make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Just got to preach the gospel. Just got to let people know. And I pray that we all have that spirit. We've got to let people know about the gospel, whether we're vocational pastors or not, like every single one of us. I pray that we all have that burning in our hearts, that I've got to tell my friends about Jesus. I've got to tell my neighbors about the Lord. I got to make sure my kids understand the good news of Jesus. I've got to make sure my family members understand the love of God and the severity and the importance of responding to Jesus. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. All right, let's jump over and see what Jesus has to say, or the gospels have to say, in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 46. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on. Thanks for subscribing to the podcast and subscribing to the YouTube channel. That's awesome. So 6:30 through 46. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. There it is. That's the spirit, man. The spirit that was in Paul is the spirit that was first in Jesus. He sees the crowd, and what does he say? They need a shepherd. What does Paul say? Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. It's the same spirit. Woe to me if I do not let people know how much God loves them. Woe to me if I don't let people know that they matter to God. So Jesus looks at the crowds, and his immediate response to the crowd is compassion. They're like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. What is woe to me if I don't preach the gospel? What does he do in compassion? He begins to teach them. By this time, it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they will go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. You feed them. You feed them. That's the spirit, right, of God's people, is feed others the good news of the gospel. Don't just expect Jesus to do it. Do it for Jesus. They said to him, that would take more than half year's wages, and are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? So they're thinking, you know, the physical food. How many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to give to all the people, have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and distributed to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Just that beautiful image of God, Jesus having compassion for the crowd and sending his disciples out to feed them. To give Jesus what they had, he multiplied it, gave it back to them, and said, now you go feed them. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. It's a visual illustration of that same principle. You feed them. Woe to us if we do not feed the crowds, feed people the good news of the gospel. We take what we have, as imperfect and as incomplete as it is, we give it to Jesus. He does what Jesus does to stuff. He makes more out of it than it is. And he says, you use what you have. Use your heart. Use your words to lead people, to feed people the gospel, to feed people the good news. Start with compassion. Man. Maybe we could learn that today. We lead with compassion. When Jesus sees the crowd, his first impulse is what? Compassion. These are people that need a shepherd. They need the good shepherd. Man, that's powerful stuff. So thank you guys for being on today. Thank you for spending some time in the Word of God. Thank you for subscribing to the YouTube channel. That way you know every time we have new episodes. We'll be back at it Monday. Actually, no, I'm gone Monday, guys. I'm sorry. Next week, I'll be out. But I'll be back the week after. But yeah, sign up, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and you'll know when we drop new episodes. Love you guys. Hey, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for the gospel, the good news that saves us, that tells us about Jesus. And through Jesus, we are saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for the privilege of sharing this glorious good news with others. Help us to be about that. Help us to feed people, to look upon people with compassion, and share with them the graciousness of the Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. I pray for each and every person today. May your blessing and encouragement be upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. You guys are awesome. Love you guys. Good stuff today from God's Word. Thank you guys for being a part of this. Thank you for being part of this awesome community that's learning and growing together. And I really appreciate spending some time with you. Have a great day. Thanks, Pastor Tim. Thanks, Paula. Thanks, all you guys on the YouTube channel. Thank you guys on the audio podcast. You guys are the best. Thanks for liking, subscribing, commenting, all of that stuff. I really appreciate it. And it encourages other people too. So you guys have a great day. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.